Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to distribute to everybody, Laura, almost like a point guard, Caleb Williams.
It's interesting because he's been a shooting guard his whole life, right? But now he's being asked to play point guard, and it isn't easy. Matt Eberflus said they continue to teach and preach that each week. They go through Caleb's point guard plays, not his highlights that we'd show per se, but the games he's had a quarterback rating over 100. He's had three so far where he distributed the ball to his skill guys. They want him to keep getting these assists.
Yeah, but what happens if the point guard comes down the court and nobody can get open for him to pass the ball to?
Look, I think that there is room for us to discuss some of Caleb's actual problems, and I promise you that on this show, we will talk about that. We are not trying to take blame away from the Bears quarterback, but we are trying to paint a picture of what he's surrounded by and what the struggles are and what the limitations are for a quarterback in this type of system,
yes,
with this coordinator.
Yeah, and I think we're trying to make sure that everyone understands how guys get ruined and how guys get damaged. And to take away, as you said earlier, the binary possibilities of this, Justin Fields was undoubtedly damaged by bad coaching and bad organization and all of that. I still very much feel, with the way I did, that the ceiling of Caleb Williams is a higher ceiling than Justin Fields. And that has not changed, and I don't think that will change from a scouting perspective. And oh, by the way, Justin Fields is on the bench in Pittsburgh with a different set of circumstances.
But he was definitely damaged,
and I never said that he wasn't.
But he was a better version of himself in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
Than what he was here.
Yes, but still a limited version of what the NFL would desire.
Absolutely. And the hope is that Caleb Williams can reach beyond that because he does have so many weapons as a passer. Whether we're talking about arm angle or throwing on the run or arm strength. But I'm not sure that he's been put in the best. Actually, I am sure of that. I am sure that he has not been put in the best position.
Absolutely. But to go back to the global angle, I still believe with the contract clock and the chance at having a new option that you can maybe shoot for the ceiling with, that you do that and you will do it again. Like, you have to keep doing that in the NFL. You have to keep trying for that.
You do.
But you also need to have a atmosphere that's conducive for the young quarterbacks learning.
But you might have also wanted, you know, more offensive linemen, and maybe all of them look better if you were able to protect them instead of having 9 quarterback sacks on your resume for a couple guys. Like, that's horrible.
What if they traded a 4th-round pick for a kick-ass center and signed a lower-level free agent wideout instead of Keenan Allen when it was a position that you were going to draft anyway, or drafted a kick-ass lineman at 9 instead of Roma Dunze,
Those
right?
are all things that you could have done and yes. you didn't do. If Bears fans weren't the only ones who were upset with what they were watching yesterday, old Moose was on the call with our buddy Kevin Kugler. And he had some stuff to say, including the idea of not wanting to simplify, and I'm using air quotes for those who can't see me on Twitch, simplify the offense for Caleb.
But if you're Caleb Williams, and you're this offensive brain trust of the Bears, I mean, the only things that have worked for you are the quick timing routes, 3 steps an hour.
Yeah, and you know what? If you have to reduce your offense down, then you have to do that. And when both your tackles are out, that there's a great possibility that could happen during the course of the game. They've got to adjust to how the personnel is dictating what they can do.
he's just getting going. He's realizing how bad the game plan is.
And you're seeing it, like, the other part. Like, we were discussing this as a group, like the idea of Bo Nix balling out yesterday and having a chance to beat Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
Jaden Daniels yesterday having a chance to win that game against Pittsburgh.
Keep
they
going.
Went back and forth,
keep,
right?
Keep going.
But and then you have Drake May in front of you.
Sure, and the kid in Atlanta hasn't even played yet, but a lot of people still have Penix envy. Thanks, everybody.
You've been dying to use that.
That deserved a rim shot, but
Damn it right, did. Damn right it did.
So, but then you have an example.
Thank you to Chris Tannehill for both the writing of the joke and the willingness to let the host say it out loud. It's producer's yeoman work right there.
I mean, this is why he's the best at what he does. But you have an example of what a winning game plan can look like with a rookie quarterback right in front of you. And if you're Moose, you're looking, you're like, wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute here. They're doing the whole thing, and the Bears should be doing that too. This is what he said about the Bears trying to have some simple timing patterns and not working on possible reasons why that might be.
Second and 14, Williams to the sideline wide of Odunze. And now third and 14.
And see, those are some of the pass patterns where when you watch this offense and it seems a little bit out of sync, that's all timing right there. That's just repetition. You know, hitting it every day at practice, you know, individual period. Then you're going to run it one-on-one. Then you're going to run it in seven-on-seven. But that's just a simple timing pattern between quarterback and wide receiver, and it's not close.
He's saying they're not running it at seven-on-seven and in practice. Like, come on, guys. That's what you're doing. Can we hear this one that Tanny pulled about the offense responding poorly?
Sure. Overall?
Let's hear that one.
Six quarters now without a target for Cole Kmet. He's got to get involved in this second half for the Bears offense, doesn't he?
DJ Moore, one catch for minus 2 yards. I mean, it's unbelievable. We came on the air, you said this is a must-win situation for the Bears. This is a must-score possession. I mean, they were very inept in that first half. They've got to find a way. When they finally got into a rhythm, into the second quarter, it was the structure of the play. It was the design of the play. They are not winning. They are not creating separation on their routes.
Only 87 yards of offense in the first half for Chicago.
Inept, dude. Inept. This offense, man, on the year, you know where they are among 32 teams and third down in the NFL?
Oh, I mean, that. What, they go 1 for 14 yesterday?
Yes.
I'm going to say they're 28th or 29th.
31st. They're ahead of only Cleveland. This is the worst.
You think Cleveland's cool?
This is the worst the Bears have been at third down since 2005. Yesterday they went 3 for 9 on 3rd and 1, 3 for 8 on 3rd and 2. Sorry, that's for the year. Excuse me. For
the year. They went 1 for 14 yesterday.
They didn't have any attempts of 3rd and 1 or 3rd and 2 yesterday.
They couldn't even get to 3rd and short.
Couldn't even get to it. I mean, they're ahead of only Cleveland. It's insane to me. Absolutely. And in the first quarter on the year, it's even lower, 18% on third down. They're 4 for 22 on the season on third down in the first quarter. They haven't led, right? They haven't led in the first quarter yet.
They have not led. They have not scored first.
In the first quarter.
Like, that's wild. Even against Jacksonville.
Even the blowout win.
Even against Carolina, they didn't score first. It's really, really amazing. So you've heard Moose Johnson, like, continue to kind of be like, well, at first be like, oh, what's this?
And, uh-huh.
Oh, I don't think I like this. And I really don't like this. Now he gets to the point where he is just like everyone else who is watching the Bears offense.
Yeah, you mentioned the passion that this city has for its sports teams, and there was a lot of chatter during the course of the week, number one, about the play calling, that Shane Waldron was on the hot seat, and are we going to do anything there? It pushed its way up to the top, to head coach Matt Eberflus, and you know, that's going to start again. You know, that will be how you start your week after this loss. is this the right group moving forward? I mean, go back to it, right? It goes all the way back to John Fox and Mitchell Trubisky. You know, you fire your coach after the first year together with your first round draft pick, and then it goes to Matt Nagy and Justin Fields, and you do the same thing. And it's just a repeated thing. You're not getting this right. You're not getting head coach, quarterback moving together, taking this franchise forward.
And all smiles on the sidelines for Gerard Mayo and company. And Daryl, when you look at this Patriots team, they're going to go home with a lot of good feelings. When you look at this Bears team and that gauntlet ahead, real tough afternoon for Chicago.
Very tough afternoon, and a lot more questions with maybe no answers whatsoever. I've been through this process before. I was on a 1-15 team, and then the following year, you know, we sat at 3-5, and you know, that's 4-22 over the course of a season and a half, and it's hard, you know, to keep that faith and believe in what you're doing, and it takes time, and there is process and progress that you make, and I think that's the frustrating thing. This year, in year three, you know, they've got to make that decision. As you pointed out, we've gone with a number one overall pick at quarterback again. Is this the group that you're going to take forward? And with that schedule coming up, you know, it's an opportunity to learn a lot about this team.
Yep.
I mean, you've got six really challenging games coming up. Do you stand pat and let that go, or do you do a New Orleans situation where you fire your coach in the middle of the season?
Now, look, this is a national broadcaster taking 90 seconds at the end of a broadcast to talk about the history of you getting stuff wrong and how this looks like that looks.
Amazing. That this knowledge of the entire folly of the place is so pervasive that it's just part of the common knowledge. It's part of the national embarrassment that is this thing.
It's the institution of the Bears on full display and embarrassing yet again. Let's go out to the phones. 312-644-6767. Shad's on the south side. Hey, Shad, you're on the score.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, Shad?
Oh, we lost Shad.
Y'all can hear.
Oh, we got you now, Shad.
We got you, man. Nah, Shad's broken up. Let's move on. Who else we got?
How about Romeoville and Greg? Greg, you're on the score.
Greg, we're in Vegas. You're not, but thank you for being with us. Trust us, the Bears' happiness is no better here. What's up, Greg?
Hello again, fellas. I've been calling in for the better part of 2 years saying that Tyson Bajan should be the starting quarterback. And I'm back again with it because I believe that Caleb has some faults that are not able to be worked out by Shane Waldron. I mean, which is more likely? Shane completely forgot how to coach after turning Geno Smith into a competent quarterback. He completely forgot how to coach.
Yeah, there's some pushback on how involved he was in that.
Yeah, seriously. There's a lot of pushback on how involved he was in that. And the idea of Bajan over Caleb for 2 years and you taking a victory lap on that is freaking gross, frankly. You wanting that for 2 years and using this as an opportunity for a victory lap is pretty disgusting.
Yeah, he's not the answer. I like that he's grown into a competent backup.
Sure, that's great. It's an interesting moment that he was warming up yesterday.
Yeah, which I wonder if that played any role into what Adam Schefter was talking about this morning. Matt Eberflus said today that Caleb is still going to be their quarterback. Kyle's out in Naperville. Hey, Kyle, you're on the score.
Hey,
Spiegel, this is off topic. Has anyone ever told you you look like Man Cow?
Yeah, I've got that before. Thanks so much. Appreciate you. What
anyway,
else you got?
Do we have buyer's remorse? Should we have stick with Justin? I know the financial implications and stuff like that. Should we have gone a different route? Mr. Getsy wasn't the answer. I feel like we should have probably stick with Justin, traded the pick, and invest in our offensive line, which we barely never have. The last interior lineman that we got that was good, Kyle Long, that I can remember in recent memory, because I thought Gabe Creamy was supposed to be this.
I mean, that was way before Kyle Long. But look, I think that there could be an argument for it, but that sliding door we can't walk through. I think that there were plenty of people who thought that maybe that was the right way to go, that you put together a bridge contract for Justin Fields that is team friendly, and then you go and you start looking at what you can get for the number one pick and then draft. You know, if you wanted to draft a quarterback later on in the first round, you could do that. There was
well, let's talk about Lawrence, because you were an advocate for that idea for a while. Like, the problem is, now that you've seen what you've seen, if they had done that, it's not like they were going to tailor the offense to Justin and just try to win for a little while and, you know, just try to, like, be okay.
It's more likely because of the way that Justin runs that you might been able to, like, you could have won a game like yesterday where he does two crazy things and you win the game, and maybe you're still five and four. But I get, you know, I don't want to relitigate it. I understand that I lost the Justin Wars. Like, I get that I lost that battle when talking about it. But
you had that glove.
The Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, you had the gauntlet with the stones on it, and you still lost the Justin Wars. I didn't think it was possible.
Yeah, but you look at the other quarterbacks, they're out there doing work.
I don't think anybody won the Justin Wars.
Here's what I would like. I would like better calls today.
We can get them.
Are you sure?
You think so?
No. Shane's frustrated, and I get his frustration. I would like to challenge us as a show.
Our listeners are very, very entertaining. These ones today have been boring as crap. They've been very boring.
I think we can do better, so we're gonna put upon the guys back at the ranch, say, hey, we want the best of the best, baby. You're the best around.
Nothing's gonna bring this show down.
No, not even bad call.
No, sir.
When we come back, though, the worst teammate ever?
I think he might be.
He's in a team photo of worst teammates?
Yeah, maybe people have other ideas, but we got to dissect just how bad of a teammate this is.
We'll do that next here on The Score.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.